It's Drake and Scott on Radioslot.com.
Woo!
Welcome to the show. We are coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. If you aren't offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
I'm Brian Drake. He's Scott, and
yes, I am.
We got some fun stuff today.
Scott with three T's right here. We're gonna have fun today.
Yeah,
because we've had some dark shows recently.
Really?
Yeah,
I've enjoyed them.
No, let's have fun today.
Okay. Well, we got 10 comedies that would be canceled using today's standards. We have more people complaining that working from home is bad for you. There's a laxative shortage in the United States, and TikTok is partially responsible. And New Mexico's governor was told no to her gun ban by a federal judge, so she's doubling down.
Yikes.
Yes, maybe we'll get to all that, and maybe we won't. All right. Anything on your mind to start?
For some reason, I was thinking about lies. Like, how many lies we hear regularly.
Okay, yeah.
The top 10 lies, I think. At some point, I want to compile a list. My current one is 2 weeks to slow the spread.
Yeah. You can also say safe and effective.
Yeah.
If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Of course, that one's a bit of a reach, though, from several years ago.
I'm impressed with how many of them that I think of that come from politicians.
Well, they all do. Well, yeah. I mean, politicians lie more than anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, politicians in the media, I mean, that's where all that stuff comes from. All those buzzwords and phrases that we pick up and then repeat ad nauseum to each other. And
yeah,
and some people actually say them as if they are the ones who thought of them to try to make themselves look smart. And
I have this weird thing, though, where I want to be a better person.
Sure.
And it seems like that doesn't apply to the people who just perpetuate lies. They'll just say anything to get elected or to get you to buy something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm
You new around here? Because that's been going on for quite some time.
It kind of hit me this week, I think. I don't know why.
Don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah. Another lie. User friendly.
Oh, goodness, yes.
Yeah, just no.
Although, you know, I find, though, as I'm getting older, I have less and less patience, as my wife will tell you, or I don't understand new devices and new technology because I have the hardest time figuring out how my phone works sometimes, or if for some reason, just if it's in the mood, it'll turn off the notification sounds and suddenly it's just vibrating when I didn't set it to just vibrate. And I've got to go into the settings, and I just get so, using navigation systems in the car, for example, it's like, can I just drive somewhere? You know, where's my paper map? You know,
yeah.
And I just start getting pissy trying to work out these new things. And
well, there's another top 10 lie: smartphone.
Oh, sure.
That's, I mean,
sure. Well, for sure.
Bias phone, maybe. Dumb phone, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but just back to my other point, is like my wife says I have no patience, but it's like I genuinely don't understand how things work anymore. I mean, new stuff. Give me the old stuff, something mechanical. I can take it apart, put it back together, no problem. But trying to figure out how my phone works, I need a PhD. Yeah.
No, there's certain things, like phone. Even the word phone is kind of a lie.
Why?
Because there's been times where I had my phone, and I was trying to use it to make a phone call. And I couldn't get it to work.
I get it, yeah.
Okay. I can get all my apps to work and all this other kind of stuff, and it'll tell me where I'm driving and the whole thing. It said, yeah, but I can't make a phone call. So that I've been experimenting with that one for a bit. I've got some devices, some electronic devices, that I only use for certain things, and I don't load anything else onto them. Mm-hmm. Like I got an iPad.
Right.
I don't think you've ever even seen it.
No.
But I use it for research and certain couple things. I don't watch videos on it. Mm-hmm. I don't have a bunch of these other apps and things and stuff because I know it's just going to busy up the device and then all of a sudden it'll stop working.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Just drives me nuts. In fact, I was driving the other day and, you know, you're supposed to hands-free drive, you know. So somebody calls, and I have this whole setup in my car where the Bluetooth connects, and then it's through the speakers, and you can drive legally. And for whatever reason, it's worked for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day, all of a sudden, it just stopped working. And it's now I got to put my phone on speaker and try to talk through it, but I got driving the car noise, and then the other people are complaining, like, what's wrong with your phone? I said, it's not actually a phone. It's just impersonating one. So.
Yep. So how are your...
See, we said we were going to have fun, and I'm already going grumpy.
Yeah.
All right, let's...
Yeah, this is, yeah, you're welcome to my world.
Yeah.
How are your bowel movements?
I don't talk about that in public.
Because the United States is going through a laxative shortage, according to the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, that won't go smoothly.
And no. One reason for the demand is hybrid work and travel, which apparently can lead to problems with constipation.
I mean, I have noticed that there's a lot more people lately who are full of it.
Oh, for sure. You know, maybe that's why everybody's so cranky, because they can't make it to the bathroom. Anyway, according to the Wall Street Journal, demand is surging for laxatives. Experts believe the current shortage is due to a combination of reasons, including an aging American population.
Why did I know that you were going to pull something like this?
Well, because I told you I was going to.
For some reason, I thought you were joking.
No. This is
we've devolved. We've lost our one listener.
I don't know if I'm going to be. I'm going to have to take my headphones off because you know fart noises make me laugh. Anyway, experts believe the current shortage is due to a combination of reasons, including an aging population, the fact that Americans don't consume enough fiber, and TikTokers are talking about laxatives for weight loss. As you know, you can poop the weight away, I guess.
Well, I'm sure TikTok is constipating people. I mean, it messes with your whole system.
Well, it messes with not just system.
Creates anxiety and all this kind of stuff.
For sure. But apparently, you know, moving around, sleeping on a different schedule, using a different bathroom, that is apparently, according to some of the doctors quoted here, can upset the rhythm and make it so that you can't go, which is news to me.
Does it say anything about processed foods?
Yes, it says a lot of the food we eat is garbage now. And, of course, what doctors do recommend is that instead of going straight to the laxatives, that you try fiber, more fiber first. They're recommending kiwi, which is, quote, been shown to be beneficial for constipation and bloating.
Yeah, I think...
I don't know.
Yeah, you got to find things to eat, though, that don't have a bunch of chemicals that you can't pronounce.
Yes.
Right? It's like one of these little core values for me. I like to eat things that I actually can pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's got a bunch of agglutinin, what is that doing to the rest of my system?
No, exactly.
How about we just eat chicken?
Plain chicken with nothing on it?
Broccoli, salt, pepper, you know, sure. All that. There's all kinds of sauces out there, and you have no idea what's in all these things.
Yes, no, I understand. Of course, what I found, what works for me is when I make my pot brownies, I put laxatives in the mix. It gives me the shits and the giggles.
Oh, don't you have that sound effect?
Yeah, I do. Hang on.
Come on. You got to know when to use these things.
It's on the other... But that was funny.
Yeah. You know, if you want to have a healthier lifestyle.
There we go. Took me a second to find it.
Yeah, just eat natural foods. We had a couple invited us over for dinner, and it sounds good. Yeah, my husband's gonna make steaks. I was like, oh, like a steak?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Do we get there? And I'm new at the whole steak cooking. Not too often am I doing that too much,
mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm watching this guy, and he's going to work on the grill and the whole thing. And I notice he has no stuff. He's got the spatula and the tongs and the steaks themselves. And I was like, oh, well, this is great. You put some on these? Did you marinate them? He's like, no, you don't do that to a steak. He's like a purist, right? You never ruin a good steak. I said, well, what'd you put on it? Salt and pepper. That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's all you need.
Okay. It was one of the best steaks I ever had. And now I'm...
Yeah, you don't.
I'm enlightened.
You can cook them in butter. You can do all the rubs and the marinades and all that. But, I mean, salt and pepper, is that's all you need.
Yeah.
The natural flavor of the meat will carry you through there.
Yeah. Well, we got a recipe one time for chicken, and they wanted you to cook it in Italian dressing, like slow cook it in right. Italian dressing. It softens it up and the whole thing. And I was like, oh, this is pretty good. Then I looked at the Italian dressing to see what was in it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't read the thing. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to watch those chemicals.
You know. So if we're confused about why our body's acting a certain way, you got to ask, well, what are you putting into your body?
Well, and that goes back to they're saying a lot of travel is upsetting things. And it's like, well, okay, if you're traveling, you're not necessarily eating well. You're just grabbing what's available. So
well, I mean, most of the airlines can make you sick to your stomach, too.
Well, yeah. But I just, all that kind of stuff. But a lot of it probably has to do with people's mental problems and their anxieties and whatnot. And then when things don't work right, it just makes it worse. And it's like, you know, as someone who has diverticulosis in the family, I've got to be chugging liquid, you know, the Citracel and stuff, liquid fiber. So
I got a better solution for you.
What?
Just go to any Mexican restaurant, get yourself some refried beans, and the pico de gallo.
Right? Okay.
Onions, tomato, cilantro. Just there. You're good right there. Bam.
It won't even take hours. I got doctor's orders. No, the fiber I drink doesn't. I mean, it tends to work within a half hour just to keep, you know.
Beans have fiber.
Yeah, that's true. But the goal for me is not to necessarily go because I don't have a problem with that. It's just to keep the system lubricated because I've got apparently pockets in my colon that will get filled up.
And yeah, we need get to move on.
Inflamed and then kill me.
Yeah. And that's not a phrase I ever want to hear. Pockets in the colon.
Well, it's just.
And then I just said it again.
It's just what happens. It's not. There's nothing bad about it.
Yikes! So what's the solution? They got
to. The solution is to eat more fiber.
Watch less TikTok.
Eat a salad. Watch less TikTok.
Don't fly Southwest.
Well, yeah, and
I'm just going to beat that one for a long time.
Yeah, and just you know, but of course, Americans they want to go straight to the drugs, the pills, and the easy solution. Instead of taking the proper time to learn how to take care of themselves. So that's why we have a laxative shortage. And it does not help you lose weight, by the way.
It's a lie, by the way. Remember I was talking about top 10 lies?
And, sure.
Yeah, I found another one. There's a laxative shortage. That's a lie. There's all kinds of natural stuff you could do to just boom.
Well, right, natural stuff. Americans don't like natural stuff. We like drugs.
I want a quick fix.
Yeah.
Is there a drive-thru? If we could develop a drive-thru to solve your constipation,
okay,
we'd make a killing.
Hopefully you don't have an accident in the car driving home, though.
Oh, there you go. Very punny. Very punny. Oh, I just thought of another lie.
What?
Because I mentioned Southwest.
Okay.
The delays in this flight were weather-related.
Yeah, because if they're weather-related, they don't have to give you a refund.
Yeah, that's a lie.
So that's... All right, well, we're up on a break. Why don't we do something fun next? 10 comedies that would be canceled using today's standards. And some classics from the 80s on there, by the way, that we grew up with.
There's some that are missing, though. We'll have to talk about
some
that too.
There are some that are missing, but these 10 are ones that MSN has, or whoever wrote the article that appeared on MSN, that they have decided are the most egregious offenders. And... whoops.
It's tragic.
It is. Why is it?
It's tragic. We're canceling movies.
It's advancing when I don't want it to.
It's the third T in Scott with three T's. It stands for tragic.
Okay. Drake and Scott, Radioslot.com. We'll be back after this. Radioslot.com, Drake and Scott keeping you company. Run DMC and Beats to the Rhyme, our bumper song here.
Yes.
One suggested by Scott. I'm trying to remember.
You can't go wrong with Run DMC. You just can't.
No, I'm trying to remember to make sure to get a song or two from you every week now so it's not just me. But Jesus is not a politician. That's what we're advocating here in response to this fellow from the Southern Baptist Convention, Mr.
Former.
Yeah, he's
now, Christianity Today now.
He's the editor. But one thing he said here that kind of gets my goat is that when we get to the point where the teachings of Jesus himself are seen as subversive to us, then we're in a crisis. Well, who is us? Does that mean the right-wing church, the Baptist Convention in particular, or what? And it just, it's... trying to turn Jesus into a right-winger or a left-winger completely defeats the purpose of everything in the gospel. It is probably the most apolitical thing ever, and to try to twist it one way or the other just seems to me to be a huge mistake. And,
well,
and you know, we've talked about the left doing their thing. This fellow, the Southern Baptist Convention is not known for their left-wingism. They're probably as far right as it gets. And now he's advocating the other extreme. So,
well, I don't know if he's advocating it. I think he's complaining because some people come up to their pastor afterwards and say, hey, are you doing liberal talking points during mm-hmm. the sermon? It's like, well, or are you just bringing your own agenda to when you're listening to the sermon? How about you listen to what he's trying to say or what
now, that could it,
passage is saying or what Jesus was actually about rather than bringing your politics to it?
Well, now, could it be both, though? Could it be coming from not only the pulpit but from the parishioner?
That no, that's what to, I mean.
Yeah,
okay. They're reading it with an agenda. And here's the problem in almost every area of our life, and this is where I'll give Russell Moore credit.
Okay.
He says that we're too factionalized and politicized and, you know, all that in every area of our life.
Yeah, very true.
And that's true. And that's what you're doing, Russell Moore, in this article. You're bringing your agenda to this whole thing. And he's complaining because a couple people came up and criticized somebody after they performed a sermon. Well, talk to any coach, teacher, anybody that does public service. There's you always got haters. You know, there was a poll. They found that no matter what, best decisions of the best organizations that were the most successful, they still had 27% pushback, even on good decisions that were good for companies that
really?
Made money. Yeah. The best approval rating you can get in a business when a decision is made, this includes churches and for-profit, non-profit, the whole thing, 73%. That was the average best you could ever get.
Wow.
Not average. That's the top.
So even your own team is going to be against
you. Yeah. And we want that.
Mm-hmm.
If you and I agreed on everything, that'd be pretty boring.
Right. Well, that's why I always try to disagree with you.
Even if you sit in a room with a bunch of people and everybody agrees on the exact same thing, mm-hmm. now we're missing some perspective. I sit in way too many meetings, mm-hmm. and I am always looking like who in the room is going to disagree with this because they might be seeing something I don't see and they have a different perspective than I have. Why don't we entertain that a little bit and see if we can't get to some clearer form of truth or something like that? Mm-hmm. But to freak out because somebody pushes back on something, man, grow some thick skin, rub some dirt on it, and quit. You know, do you really? Are you that sensitive that you can't handle? You know, if you're really good at your job, then do your job and have some confidence in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're listening to someone or getting a service done for you, how about you stop telling the dentist how to do his job? This is what cracks me up.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I never tell my dentist how to do his job.
Yeah.
I don't tell the plumber how to do his job. Yeah. I want them to be the experts and you tell me how much it costs. Now I might go get a better bid for a cheaper price, but I'm not going to tell them, oh, you know, you really should use this kind of pipe here or whatever. Are you sure that's really a cavity? Maybe it's just gloss over. No,
mm-hmm.
no. But in public service, you find any teacher, principal, coach, or pastor, or anybody that does that kind of stuff.
Well, I write books on the side. I get the same thing.
Oh, yeah,
writers. People tell me how to write my books.
Yeah, critique. This is what I love. And the movie industry is the worst because you get these critics who are so-called experts. They go and they rate these movies,
mm-hmm.
and they don't know anything. They don't know nothing, right? And it's have you ever made a movie? Well, quit talking then.
Yeah.
Right? And
no,
the people that do make movies, they're the ones that should be commenting on movies.
Yes.
You know, so I'm done with this whole thing.
Well, as we were saying in the beginning about getting, you know, butts in seats and eyes on the screen, this fellow would really like to get you reading his magazine now.
Not a chance.
So, yeah.
No. Not a chance.
Not a chance. Let's change gears here. Let's talk about fat chicks.
This is a continuing effort in Brian's ongoing battle to try and get me in trouble. Jeez. The first thing I'll say about fat chicks is I resemble them.
Okay. Yeah, even my wife is suggesting I should get to a gym. This is another thing from NPR. It's a CDC thing, a study done by a female, actually. She's investigating the obesity rate right now, and
so it's from female.
It's from
about females.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it's a little safer.
Okay. So it's
is this one about the percentage of overweight people in the U.S.?
Yes. So the prevalence of obesity among women in their 40s and 50s has risen to 42% since 1999-2000. That's higher than the 38% the CDC found for middle-aged men. So there, you know, we've had the missile gap, and now we have the fat gap.
Yeah. From the CDC?
Yes. So,
and we should believe them because they got COVID right.
Exactly. Yes. Well, no. See, now you're trying to undermine my joke. But across all adult age groups, about 38% of women are obese, while 34% of men are. And
okay,
you know, too much girl bossing and wine drinking. There's your problem.
Well, wine is prevalent, right? And you know, some of this stuff could just be extraneous third variables that are affecting this thing, like manual labor, like physical labor. Most of those jobs are men, and if you're doing physical labor all the time, you're burning a lot of energy. I would think this just kind of makes sense because, you know, the last work crew I drove by, there was no women. Mm-hmm. And I'm not making a statement about there should or shouldn't or any of that kind of stuff. Just men tend, there's a lot more men who tend to pick stuff where they can be outside and lift and carry and move and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The last road crew I saw yesterday, there was one woman there and she was just holding the stop sign.
Okay.
The guys were working the machines.
Yeah. No, my brother's in a physical labor industry, and I went and visited him, and I went out to one of his job sites where they were working, and I was blown away at the level of mass power that was going on and tools and all this kind of stuff. Not a single woman to be seen anywhere, mm-hmm. right? And they're out in the full sun, 100 degrees, just, you know, getting after it.
Right.
So, I don't know. But yeah. this is getting worse. It used to be 42 and 38, but from what I read, the percentage is going up for mm-hmm. women.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because you don't burn much energy just running your mouth.
Oh, come on. My goodness, you just really...
Wait till we get to the one about how hard it is being a guy.
Well, I think, and it's getting worse, but it's getting worse for men too, which is they don't talk about that.
Yeah, I know.
And that's because 99% of the food out there is processed now. And,
you know, the food supply is a big issue. There's a meme going around on Facebook. Every now and then it shows up where it's a picture of people at the beach somewhere in the late 60s to early 70s, and there's not a big gut to be seen. And nowadays, you know, that ain't going to be the case. So it's like, what changed? Is it more sedentary now? Is the food bad or what? You know, so I mean, they're
computers.
Yeah, probably.
Internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Just sitting around. Yeah.
Dumb phones.
I should talk. As I said, my wife says, you know, I should really get to a gym. And it's like, okay, well, maybe I should get two memberships on.
But there's all these viral videos that I need to watch, Brian.
Yeah. And lifting weights gets in the way of girl bossing and, you know.
Oh,
and drinking wine. Yeah. Now let me get in trouble because I will turn it into great publicity for us.
Oh no, please do.
And a 3-picture deal.
I want to pick the actor that plays me.
Okay. Well, we're.
Wait, do we have a couple of seconds?
We have 10 seconds.
Because we were going to do a joke off. We were thinking it'd be fun. You had this idea about dad jokes.
I have, it's a dad joke idea. Whoever laughs the most loses. Let's
after the break.
Let's discuss that after the break. Drake and Scott, RadioSlot.com. Back after this. RadioSlot.com, Drake and Scott back with you for another segment. And we're talking dad jokes, at least.
Yeah, that'd be
for
fun.
For a moment. So, yeah, I saw
your idea.
Well, yeah, I saw this. I've stolen this idea, actually. There's a couple of groups of comedians on YouTube that do these contests where two of them at a table, and they tell each other silly jokes to see who laughs the most or who can go the longest without laughing. Whoever does laugh the most loses. And I thought that would be funny considering we both have twisted senses of humor that we could maybe try that ourselves and see.
And we love dad jokes.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Now, I've got a couple inappropriate ones that I would love to share.
I would love a dollar for every time my kids have rolled their eyes at me, my family, my workmates.
You had one or two that you wanted to try out?
Yeah, well, I was thinking we'll do this in the future in our upcoming episodes. And so we got to get an idea how this works. We tell two jokes. In the future, you'll tell one, I'll tell one.
Yeah, and then
whoever responds the most will.
Yeah, we got to keep track of who laughs, what qualifies as a laugh. Because a smirk probably won't make it.
Okay, so here's an example. First one, guy walks into a bar with his buddy Giraffe. You got to go with this, right?
Okay.
So they start drinking, and Giraffe just has way too much to drink, right? Passes out. And the guy's looking at him going, well, I guess the party's over. So he turns to leave. And the bartender's like, hey, dude, you can't leave that lion there. And he says, it's not a lion. It's a giraffe.
That's the punchline.
There you go. He's not a lion. He's a giraffe.
Okay.
Right? You can't leave it lying there. He's not a lion. He's a giraffe. If you have to explain it, that's probably the loser.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, no, the explanation could be funny too. All right. Here's mine. What do you call an Asian Karen?
Oh, no.
A demandarin.
Okay. So you would win and I would have to pay because that was definitely funny.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. And send your cards and letters to drakeandscott@gmail.com.
Yeah. Send us your dad jokes.
Okay.
That would be hilarious. We could have a listener contest. Who sends the best dad joke. That'd be awesome.
I would be down for that. So that's drakeandscott@gmail.com. Scott with three T's and,
gmail.com.
At Gmail. Okay.
All right. I got a teaser for next episode. I'm bringing a skinny joke.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. That's coming next. Just remind me because I'll forget.
So a skinny joke next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hoping that we can talk about this because I'm having a real hard time being a man.
Oh, okay.
There's too many harsh realities.
Yeah, this is of.
And I'm triggered after all that. Watch the Barbie movie.
Yeah, this is. This is an article from MSN.com. Think you understand men? 18 harsh realities of male life that'll make you rethink. Or as I like to subtitle this article, Shut Up Barbie. So the first first thing about it says here is pressure to provide. So throughout history, men have been heralded as the pillars of the household, expected to be the primary financial supporters. The role places not only a monetary weight, but also a psychological one on them. They often find themselves chasing professional success, sometimes sidelining personal ambitions, or even their mental health, all in the name of providing. What say you? Because I agree.
Said every dad ever. Yeah, you put aside your personal stuff and you make sacrifices for the family because that's what you do.
But
you value more than just yourself.
I understand, but it can be a...
Wow, you mean dad should be selfless? Whoa, there's a new concept.
Well, no, but there could be a lot of, holy crap, how am I supposed to do this kind of stuff? And there really isn't a lot of, shall we say, support for that sort of thing. It's like
guys are
generally on their own.
There's plenty of support.
You know, from who? Other guys?
From your dad. Talk to your dad. Or look back. I mean, this is the most classic one, right? My dad used to always say, I'll never do that. Great. If you learn from dad because he did something poorly, fix it and do it the right way. If he had some things where he hit it on the nail, great. Pick those up as habits or whatever. But, I'm not really sure how to do it. Figure it out. We have the internet now.
All right.
We have professional counselors. We have social groups like churches and whatever. Get around the soccer moms and ask them, whatever. You know, every mom will give you an opinion on how dad should do something. So there's plenty of resource. books on tape. Podcasts like this one. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different things.
Okay, but what you're saying there that guys should be open and talk about things. But that gets us into number two here, emotional repression. Expressions like boys don't cry have dictated emotional norms for men, created an environment where they feel compelled to bottle up feelings. This repression isn't just unhealthy mentally. It can have physical repercussions and strain interpersonal relationships as men navigate life's hurdles.
Is this the first one?
This is the second one.
Second one.
So how if you're advocating that guys go out and talk to other guys or their dads or whatever, how do you factor in the fact that we're kind of told
you that you're uncomfortable?
That you should keep it to yourself. Guys don't express themselves. They aren't vulnerable. They're supposed to be tough and suck it up.
Yeah. Okay. So you have an accident and your arm falls off and you're bleeding out and you're laying on the ground. What's the first thing you do? You yell out, help, right?
Well, okay.
If you need help, you're not
going into shock.
Ask for help. But if you're not going to get, if you don't want to talk to anybody because you're afraid of how that's going to go or you think it's socially unacceptable or what, you got to get over some of those things and decide, I'm going to engage with people. What if we started acting with a little bit of confidence where we weren't afraid of anything anymore?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brian, I got issues. Like, I'm overweight, blah, blah, blah. I got, you know, these kind of physical conditions that I deal with and all that. Hey, what do you think? And you'd be like, I don't know. Oh, good. You should go talk to your doctor. You know, like if you had a left arm pain for like more than 3 days, you should probably go see a doctor about that, right? Rather than just ask your buddy. But acting like we don't have resources or that we're going to repress ourselves as that's how something that makes us stronger.
Mm-hmm. All right. So number three, fear of being vulnerable. We're kind of covering this at the
I jumped the gun on that one.
Yeah, but so there's that. And then physical standards. While women face a barrage of beauty standards, men aren't exempt. They're bombarded with ideals of being tall, possessing a chiseled physique, and maintaining a rugged demeanor. Such unrealistic standards can erode self-worth, fueling insecurities and anxieties about one's body.
Only if you let it.
Yeah, I guess.
If you want to change it, change it. Yeah. There's some things you can't really change. Like if you're going bald, how about you stop worrying about what you look like and what people think? Or choose a minimal hairstyle that works for your baldness.
I started going bald when I was 27. And I remember telling my mother it wouldn't be so bad if I was married. But here I was single and, you know, girls weren't talking to me already. And suddenly, you know, I had this to deal with.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's not that, you know, insecurities are new for men. I mean, and women too, obviously, but at some point, you got to learn how to deal with your insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my problem. Find healthy coping mechanisms. And the problem is we come up with coping mechanisms that are unhealthy. Too much, or we isolate ourselves, or we don't talk about things. And that just perpetuates the cycle. And actually, it snowballs. It gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
So are these kind of true? Yes. But there's always something you can do about it, personally, if you take some initiative. Okay. And that's a manhood trait that's lost.
Okay, I'll agree with that. Dating expectations, from making the first move to handling rejections gracefully, dating is a minefield for men. The role expectation isn't just tradition, it's a societal norm that puts them in positions of vulnerability regularly.
Yeah, this one I agree with.
Yeah, the financial burdens of dates coupled with the emotional toll of rejections can be daunting.
Yeah.
Sure.
And rejection's going to happen, but you got to put yourself out there and try some certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But the dating expectations that have happened in our culture with the Me Too movement and all these different, what you can and cannot say, ad campaigns about toxic masculinity and all that kind of stuff, have almost made all male behaviors illegal.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do this. You can't look. You can't touch. You can't smell.
Yeah.
You can't
so guys aren't participating.
You shouldn't even be thinking about it. And you have to change your thinking and adopt some female tendencies or whatever, because there's something intrinsically bad about masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, worse than anything we'll come up with on this list.
Well, speaking of masculinity stereotypes, societal molds for, quote, true manhood can be suffocating. Men who don't resonate with stereotypical interests like sports or mechanics often feel marginalized. They grapple with identity crises, attempting to balance social expectations with personal passions.
Yeah, there's a misnomer here that these stereotypes are about behaviors, like if you're into sports or something. I think masculinity stereotypes should be more based on character. What type of person are you? Do you tell the truth? Are you responsible? Do you show up on time? Do you have compassion? All these things are healthy masculine stereotypes. But if I don't like to go to MMA fights and watch two guys beat the heck out of each other, which, by the way, that's a personal one. I don't enjoy that.
Well, that makes you a sissy. Oh.
Well, right. And I can decide that whoever says that, that's just their opinion. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to accept everything that I hear. And that's the problem with our culture is we, boy, if it's said out loud or if we read it, someone posted it, it becomes this truth. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's just something that somebody threw out there. And that's why we have so many talking points and agendas and things like that by all these different groups, because people listen to it. But if we got emotionally stronger and more, some more confidence, man, we'd be so much healthier.
Okay. Balding concerns. We kind of already touched on this.
Oh, now it's personal.
Yeah. So balding, a natural aging sign for many men, is unfortunately seen as a negative under a negative spotlight. The market is flooded with products promising hair regrowth, reflecting deep-seated insecurities that many balding men feel, affecting their self-image and confidence. And
yeah, let's play into these.
Even I'm starting to kind of get upset with this the phrasing they're using here, because it's actually not that bad. I mean, it wasn't fun, but it would, you know, then I started shaving my head and discovered I looked a whole lot better with the buzz cut. So then it's like, let's go with this.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've had a couple times in my life where I just buzzed it, like took a number one clippers and just buzz it all the way down. Mm-hmm. And it's so great.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's like, why didn't I think of this before? You know?
Well, I don't have permission. The boss says,
Okay.
What she said is you can't give up yet.
Oh, God, okay.
I'm not giving up.
You're over 50.
I'm accepting.
It's time, yeah.
Well, and even that phrase, like, it's a statement of failure rather than I'm moving on to my next season.
Well, no, I don't mean it as failure. I do kind of mean it as...
I was talking about my boss.
Oh, okay, no, but I do mean it as, you know, the next step, and it's like, you know, it's like, okay, embrace it and shave it off, and you know, it looks so much better that way. Parenting doubts. Pop culture often portrays fathers as secondary caregivers or worse, inept at parenting. The stereotype influences societal views, making men hesitant or underconfident in their roles as fathers.
Yeah, I call this one the Homer Simpson.
I was just going to say, Homer is probably the best example of this.
Well, pick any movie, any show, pretty much, besides your, like, James Bond kind of movies.
Yeah, the dad's an idiot, and the mom is the smart
men one. Are always doofuses, and boy, if it wasn't for the women to save them, they'd be a wreck, and we just get worse and worse over time, and yeah, it's just, it's sad. What I really love is sitting with an old guy, and just asking him questions. And that's a different thing in our culture than other cultures, because in Western modern culture, we value youth and energy and the hip new thing and what looks cool, and do you have a nice figure and all that kind of stuff. You go to almost any other culture, they're into age and wisdom and, you know, quality of life and those kind of things. And it's fascinating to me because I got a buddy, he's from Africa, and we're hanging out, and he's got this girlfriend also from Africa. Okay. So they're not native to the States. They've immigrated here. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to this girl, very nice girl. She finds out that I'm more than twice her age. You know the first thing she said to me?
No.
Oh, do you have some advice for me? No, she said it with the African accent and everything.
Okay.
And I was thrown off because you don't have young people asking that question anymore. Hey, do you have some advice for me? But it was the first thing she went to. I was like, oh, that's brilliant.
Interesting.
And the problem is I didn't have any answers.
Didn't have any,
I talk all the time, and then somebody puts me out, and I was like, oh, she tongue-tied me. Do your best. I don't know. In this life, you will have trouble. Number nine.
Gosh, we're up on a break here. These breaks are too short.
We're not even halfway through the 18.
No, we're not.
We haven't even got to 9. Throw it at me, and we'll hit it after the break.
Okay. Being viewed as threatening. Depend, you know, a look or a gesture, you know, can freak women out. Workplace dynamics.
And, all right. Well, let's go to break, and I'm going to work on my threatening looks.
Okay. And drafted for combat roles. So, yeah.
Guys, some would say, you don't have to work on that, Scott. You're already. Your looks are already threatening.
Yeah, Drake and Scott after. Now you got me all thrown off.
Hey, I win the joke contest
okay,
now.
Okay. All right. Drake and Scott back after this. Drake and Scott, Radioslot.com. Back for our last segment. We really need to move to 2 hours because we keep running out of time for things.
Well, and then I'd have more time to work on my threatening looks.
Yeah, that's true. So
here,
yeah,
I'm doing the, a threatening look. How am I doing?
Yeah, I'm.
Am I threatening?
No.
Dark.
Yeah. Okay.
I must not be
so,
a man.
So are we?
So hard to be masculine.
That's right. All right, so what did we decide? Are we going to finish this next week or what?
Yeah, let's do the next nine next week.
Okay.
In the next episode. But there's this other story we have that's related to this. These single moms. You know, we have 30% of children in the country are being raised by single parents.
Yes, I understand that.
You know, around the world, the percentage is 7%. But in the United States, it's 30% are being raised by single parents.
That's right? Insane. That's
probably mostly moms. There might be a few good dads in there, whatever. That's probably what's playing into this whole masculine harsh realities thing that we were talking about. We'll finish next episode. But they're banding together, some of these single moms.
Yeah, it's called a Momune. This is out of USA Today. So a bunch of single moms are kind of, teaming up to help each other raise their kids. And, they're calling it a Momune. And it started with two mothers who met online in Utah. Lake Tahoe. That's not Utah. That's Nevada and California.
There you go.
So they're kind of doing the whole it takes a village thing and taking it to a whole new level. And, so there's no dads around, just a bunch of women who, aren't settling and have standards because they're girl boss and they, don't need no man.
So
kids need fathers. That's all I can say. It's like, I've lost count of how many times over the years I've talked with younger guys, especially as I was, in my 20s and 30s. And there were guys that were like, I never had a father. I don't know how to do X. I don't know how to behave Y. There were life skills and social skills that they did not have because they didn't have a dad. And while I appreciate what these women are doing, it's like really you got to have some sort of male role model, and preferably the biological father. If not, some sort of qualified substitute, wherever it's uncle, grandfather, what have you. But just thinking you can do it all on your own because you're a woman and don't need no man. I think that is a big mistake.
Yeah. Well, it's a good solution for half of the equation.
Okay.
We want our kids to have full influence of their moms. And if moms can pool their resources and get a little advice from each other, that's great. If they're doing it to just bash men and do, hashtag need no man.
Well, I don't.
We're really in trouble because.
And I'll give them some credit. I don't see it that way. I just see it as they are trying to come up with a solution to challenges that they're facing. And this is how they've decided to do it. And that's, I get it. But it's like you got to have some sort of male role model in there. You can't just raise kids in a estrogen vacuum.
Well, sure. And more than just dad, too. I mean, there's other dads and there's other men that you...
Some sort of male role model that needs to be in these kids' lives. It's just,
Hey, I'm in my 50s and I still have a group of guys that I reference and ask advice and talk about stuff. That's how you grow, learn, and do the whole thing.
Well, I'm learning that we're almost out of time again.
Where did it go? Probably some dad's responsible for our time. He did something wrong.
It's
sucked
like,
away our time.
We just get going. So next week, we're going to finish off the 18 reasons it's tough to be a man. We're going to do some dad joking.
More harsh realities.
Maybe we'll get to the San Francisco landlords who've been teasing now for this will be the second week in a row.
How long can we go without talking about them? It's kind of like the former president not using his name.
That's right.
Right.
Well, thanks for listening. We will be back next week.
Bye.